Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. Hello, and welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is Todd Perry. Thank you for taking time to join us and enjoy our podcast. We have a fantastic topic today and an exceptional guest, the Big P in PPM co-founder, Keith Pyron, environmental professional, over 30 years of experience, founder of PPM, such an amazing individual. I actually could take the whole podcast to talk about Keith's exploits. We're joined by Keith. Keith, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Todd?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm excited about our topic today because I don't know exactly when the Brownfield program was created, but I think you're on the forefront to help get this through. So share with our audience, our podcast audience, what are brownfields?
Well, brownfields are either sites that have been abandoned or idled, and they once had some kind of business, but the business for some reason is no longer there. The properties are just sitting vacant. And the reason why is they're called brownfields is they either have a real or perceived contamination at the property that hinders the purchase or redevelopment of that property so that it can be something that is worthwhile.
You know, we go through a lot of downtowns, a lot of cities, municipalities, and you'll see these old facilities. They could be old businesses or retail shops. They could be old manufacturers, but they're just laying idle. And you'll hear the stories, you know, the town folk will say, yeah, man, they used some really tough chemicals in there. And, you know, there could be some real problems. So the program was built as a way to use grant dollars to go out and investigate these facilities and determine whether there really is a risk or if it's just a perceived risk. Is that correct?
That's correct, Todd. A lot of times that key word is perceived. A lot of times these sites get a perception of contamination. And it turns out about 50% of them, once you investigate them, don't really have a problem at all. They may be gas stations or old dry cleaners or old automotive repair shops. And just by the nature of the business that used to occupy the site, people think that, hey, this site has got to be contaminated. And oftentimes, like I said, in 50% of the cases, turns out not to be the case.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, I'm out there listening. I've got a county or a parish, a small town. How do I know that a brownfield grant, one, could I get one? And two, if I got one, could I use it?
Brownfield grants are available to cities, counties, local governments, nonprofit groups. They're not available to individuals or just property owners per se. But if you are any kind type of a local government, whether state, county, city, or like I said, nonprofit group, that those grants are available.
So Keith, how much is a brownfield grant worth to a city?
Well, that changes year to year, but typically for an assessment grant to assess the properties within a city, it runs $400,000 to $500,000 per grant.
Now, something you can do also, if I've got a couple towns in a county or a parish, or a parish and a couple other municipalities, can I form an alliance?
Yes, that's called a coalition grant. And oftentimes you can get a little bit more money, maybe $600,000 to $1 million, by cities teaming up with their county. And so you can get a county that maybe has two or three cities that all go in together to try to get a bigger dollar package, so to speak, for the grant. And those are, like I said, called coalition grants. and they can give you a little bit more money to spread around.
Really cool. Really cool. So, I'm out there listening. I'm a mayor of a municipality, a small town, and I'm looking at my downtown. On the outskirts of my municipality, there's an old facility that used to manufacture tires that shut down. They're all blighted. They're abandoned. They're just decaying. So I'm like listening. I'm saying, hey, maybe this brownfield program could help me. What's a timeline look like? What's it look like from, hey, I'd like to try to get a brownfield grant, all the way through completing a brownfield grant process and getting awarded? What does that timeline look like, Keith?
Well, the applications generally come out in late summer to fall of each year, and you have about 60 days to put the application together. And then they're submitted generally November, December timeframe. It varies a little bit each year. But once you submit those grant applications, they usually make a decision on which ones they're going to select about April, May, June of the next year. And after they make those, the grant period generally starts in September, and it's for a 3-year period starting September of that the following year that you submit the grant application.
And a couple of follow-ups. If I decide to go for a brownfield grant and I submit and I'm not selected, that's not the end of the road for me, is it?
No, usually what you can do is you can ask for a debrief of your grant to find out from the EPA where you might have been short, what things that you can improve in your application. And so you can resubmit every year. We have known some cities that have submitted 5 times and actually won on the 5th. Some are more fortunate. They may get it right the first time and submit and win on their first time. But you can always ask for that debrief and get more information to help you improve on the next one that you submit.
And that's great information. And so I successfully receive a brownfield grant. I apply for it. I'm awarded it. I work it through. Is that the end of the line, or can I begin to build on what I discover, get additional grants? So what does the future hold for trying to build on that?
Well, that's a good question, Todd. The thing that I believe that every applicant should think about is not just getting a grant, but actually building a program for their city or county or what government that they have. And a program is to not just get a one-time grant, but to there's so many grants available. There's your assessment grants, there's cleanup grants, there's revolving loan funds. And a program takes those grant applications and uses it to build and help build a whole redevelopment program for that applicant. So every year he can have the opportunity to get more and more sites addressed and basically have an avenue or a tool to not just to do this for one grant period, but to continue that process until they revitalize their entire city or county or whoever the applicant is.
And so it makes me think of one other thing that's related, Keith. Are there ever themes to brownfield grants year to year? Are there certain things they might look for a couple of years and they'll kind of trend towards something else? Have you ever seen that happen out there with EPA?
Yes, they want to see a good storyline, and the storyline could be as simple as there was a major corridor in their city, and the interstate came through, and because of that interstate, along that corridor, all the businesses started dying, essentially, because businesses started relocating out to the interstate. It could be that the whole town is built around a central factory or a central one mill, a cotton mill or a textile mill, and that company pulls out and leaves a void in the city that creates a ripple effect that other businesses that serve that central mill or business also start dying. So yeah, there's usually a theme that you want to basically weave into your application, and that gives you a stronger application, increases your chances to win the funding for your city.
So how that grant's prepared and the story that's told, that greatly matters to your ability to successfully receive a grant from EPA. So Keith, I'm going to venture a guess. I'm going to guess that in your career at our firm, you've probably been associated with well over 50 brownfield grants, probably closing in on 100. And you've seen a lot of cool stories and you know, some outcomes that may not have been good initially, but they're able to work through. Can you share with our listeners some cool success stories with the brownfield grant?
I guess I'll give you one that involves EPA Phoenix Award. That EPA Phoenix Award is considered the highest award for some kind of redevelopment of a brownfield site. And we were working on one in St. Petersburg, Florida. And this particular site was an old African-American hospital. It had long since closed. It was one of the few African-American hospitals in the South. It had sentimental value to the community. They wanted to not see this structure demolished, but then it had that perception there that maybe there's some contamination. There was underground storage tanks associated with the hospital. So there was some community outreach meetings that took place that basically where the city reached out to the community, tried to find out what the community wanted that facility to be in the future if it was to redeveloped. And it became clear that there was a need established for some kind of medical clinic, because in that whole area, since that hospital had closed, there was no medical facilities anywhere close. So they decided to redevelop that property into a medical center. Well, what they did is they did had a neat idea, basically to preserve the old hospital itself by making that into a museum, and then kind of build the medical center around that museum, where people could come and have their medical needs met. And so it was redeveloped, and EPA. Really liked the concept, and it was awarded one of the earlier Phoenix Awards, and that is a success story that still stands today. People in that neighborhood still have their African American museum, and they're still able to go locally to a medical clinic there instead of driving miles and miles somewhere far away to try to get to a doctor.
What a great outcome. That's a cool one. And of course, the list goes on and on, but that's a great one to highlight, Keith. Well done, man. So, hey, I'm out there listening. I'm intrigued. What's my next step? How do I begin the process of going after a brownfield grant?
Well, the process starts with filling out an application, and those applications come out about every year. And so the first thing is to try to get the application. And the way you get the application is you go on the EPA's website. It's www.epa.gov/brownfields. And you can go on and get the material for the application to fill out. Now, companies like ours, we will assist you at no cost. We help you put those applications together. So if you have the need, you want to reach out, just reach out to us, and we'll be happy to help you put those applications together. But that's how you get started. You go on the website, you get the information, you read it, and it'll tell you exactly what you need to put in the application. It's generally a 10-page application. But it's hard to do. We will say it's hard to do without assistance, and that's one of the things that we're here for.
Keith, man, what a great podcast. You've really helped our listeners understand the concept of what is a brownfield grant. You laid it out beautifully. Well done. And for further information, certainly, as Keith alluded to and mentioned, visit our website, ppmco.com, ppmco.com. Reach out to us. You can contact us via the website. We'd love to help you more. Keith, thanks so much for making time. Any last thoughts you want to share with the audience?
Yes. Just remember that what you see in terms of a brownfield is not what it has to be. Look at that site of what it could be in the future.
Well done, my friend. Well done, my friend. Well, thank you guys for joining us and tuning in for this week's podcast. Keith, again, thanks for your time. We appreciate our audience's time listening in to us. We look forward to next week, to our next topic. So until then, this is PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.